Oh, real genius! I forgot. She's a girl. Can you what? Can you hammer like a 6-inch nail through a piece of plywood with your penis? Miko Hughes, dude, I've come across Miko Hughes in like 8 different conventions.
Really?
Never gotten his autograph.
Really?
Never, because I see Gage, and it's just one of those things. Like some people, I will see them as that one thing that I was introduced as. Like no matter what, Natalie Portman's a little girl in The Professional. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to be, she can win every Oscar known to man. She can become the serious actress. Dude, you're the little girl from The Professional.
Yep.
That's who you fucking are to me. Yep. Drew Barrymore, you're E.T. Yep. You're a fire starter. That's you. Forever. Yep. You. I don't give a fuck how old you get. You put out a sex tape. I don't give a shit. You're still a little girl with little fucking pigtails. And you're playing with E.T. That's what you're going to be now.
I'd say the Gage character in the original Pet Sematary creeped me. That was some scary shit,
that
dude.
That book. They did it so perfect in the movie.
That's what I was going to say.
The scene when Gage dies, that was the first book I read that I cried.
Me too.
When he's running down the hill, and I remember it sticks in my head where it's talking about how children often fall when they're running. Because they automatically lean forward and they trip over their feet or they trip over their shoelaces. And you can see Gage starting to lean forward and he's just waiting. He's like, let him fall, let him break his arm, let him bust his nose, skin his knee, anything. I mean, he said it's like angels were holding him up, carrying him to the highway. Mm-hmm. You're like, fuck, dude.
Well, and then after he's dead, but he's not injured. Like the truck hit him and spun his neck around, but he's not physically broken.
Right.
And he's like trying to like set his head properly back on his shoulders.
Dude,
I was like 14. Yeah. And it's like tears rubbing. I'm like, dude, I'm 14. I've never even kissed a girl. But I know what it's like to lose a child. Like, dude, that was effective
and
writing.
And the scene, the way they did it did in the movie, with the pictures burning while he's screaming.
That was horrible.
That was good. And then the dad, like, where were you when he was playing in the road? It's like, oh my God, where were you in the play? That fucking kite. Fuck kites. Every kite. Charlie Brown knew it. They're all full of shit.
And that's why I didn't watch the remake, because the original one just hit me so hard, and it's just so vivid. That movie is so vivid in my mind.
Dude, it is all the way through. My wife, she's like, let's just watch it. You know, it's just, you never know. It could be entertaining. We watch it, and it was just garbage cans. And I was like, I'm sure if somebody had never watched the original, they'd look at this like, oh, it's so scary. It's so good. It's like, dude, it's a half-ass remake.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a show topic I want to do in the near future.
Half-ass remake.
we've done a half-ass remake.
Well, that was good.
I was thinking
we made a movie.
I was thinking about doing remakes that hit a home run so good that you sometimes forget about the original.
Dude, The Thing.
The Thing, mm-hmm. The Fly. There's
the
so
Fly,
many movies.
Dude, Cronenberg, fucking
Little Shop of Horrors, like we were talking about
that
today.
Away.
You know, there's movies that were so well done that you don't even remember that there was an original.
You could care less.
You don't even go back and watch the original and you're like, what are they trying to do here?
Yeah. You mentioned The Thing. It's like there was nothing before Carpenter. Just don't put, oh, well, nope, didn't exist.
All right, well, we'll talk about that in the future.
Yes.
Because right now, I was prepping for this show, and I started pulling stuff, and we are going to, this is the last show of the year, I hope. I hope it doesn't turn around on the 13th month, which very well could.
Buy lots of toilet paper, get ready.
But son of a bitch, I was prepping for the first show of the new year, and I realized there was still one more week. And so instead of our New Year's show, this is New Year's Eve. And son of a bitch, 2020 won't die. It won't die. It's been shot. It's been stabbed. It's been burnt.
It does not want to turn around.
It's been thrown in the car crusher.
They hung it in the barn. Yeah.
So we're going to skip some of the stuff. We don't have any real old business. I mean, there is old business, but I just got tired. I don't want to talk about history. I want to talk about the future, and we just need to make it for two more days. So we can talk about the new business. We got the Houston Horror Pop-Up Market coming in a couple of weeks that Scott's got some details on. And we can tell you about some new stuff that we're going to be doing with the Scary Dead Podcast. But yeah, we just need to like lean forward into that highway and just let the
angels carry us forward into what my grandmother would have referred to as your reward.
So, without further ado, it is Mr. Gomez.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right. Houston Horror Pop-Up, what's going on?
It's going to be an exciting time. Part one was so great. We have Boone in the house again. Boone was part of the volunteer staff, and he can attest to just, you know, how incredible it actually was. Houston Horror Pop-Up Market, of course, January 16th, 2021, from 12 to 8 p.m., extending hours a little bit. It's going to be another great time. We have a lot of the returning vendors and a whole lot of new vendors that you will just, it'll knock your socks off. It's going to be a great event, once again, at the Marriott Hobby Airport on the south side of Houston, Texas. One of the things that we, one of the bits of feedback we got from everybody with regards to the last show was how safe it felt in the middle of a pandemic, because we stuck with our guidelines. We made sure that we limited capacity in the room at all times to where we never went over a certain percent. And of course, we're planning on doing it again. So face masks, hand sanitizer is going to be, temperature check is going to be done with everybody.
Make sure you get your tickets.
Make sure you get your tickets soon, because tickets are limited once again. And honestly, by the time this airs, it may be sold out. There will be limited tickets at the door.
But only if nobody's inside.
But you'll only be able to get in if occupancy guidelines will allow you to. And of course, pre-sale tickets only $5. You can't beat what you're getting for $5.
And if you're a horror fan, okay, and we're not talking about, you have to wear a mask because that's part of it. But if you're missing this opportunity to dress up as your favorite character and just incorporate the mask into your costume.
Frankenhooker.
This is a great opportunity because, you know, there's pictures and there's a whole atmosphere. So don't think because there's protocols that you can't break out your cosplay and just stick the mask inside of your mask. Just stick the mask inside of your, you know, your scarf or your helmet or whatever it is that you're doing.
Well, you just mentioned Frankenhooker.
There were a few people, like, I don't think that they stressed that enough with the first one, that, you know, costumes are welcome and encouraged.
Right.
They did. They mentioned it, but I don't think it was a heavy focus.
Right.
But we had some folks come out and they had masked up PPE cosplays with like Hannibal Lecter masks and stuff like that. So
yeah, we had a Gomez and a Morticia, very nice masks on.
So just think about that. You've got a little bit of time to figure that out. So, but we encourage costumes. That's a long way around it.
Right. And another just fun guest lineup. You know, Felissa Rose is coming back by her own request. She had so much fun and felt so welcomed by the people in Houston that she called us up and said, "Hey, I want to come back again and do this show," because it was such a great time. Everybody had fun. Everybody got along. It was just amazing. But added to Felissa Rose, we're also going to have Amelia Kincaid.
Night of the Demons.
Yes.
One, two, three. That lipstick's coming for you. You better watch out.
I watched. So I don't have cable television. I have an antenna. And there's a few stations on antenna television that are just awesome. There's one of them called Comet. And Comet does a lot of old sci-fi horror, that kind of shit. And they played Night of the Demons one the other day, an edited version. What was funny is the convenience store scene was 10 seconds long. Oh, I bet. It showed Amelia Kincaid, Angela, walking around the store. Then it showed her in the parking lot.
That's it. It's done, sir. Thank you.
Night of the Demons, classic movie. Also appearing is going to be the very beautiful and talented Deborah Foreman.
Shut up. She's
been in several movies.
Shut up. Wax work. April Fool's Day. Ugh.
And we were speaking of Nicolas Cage the other day. She's going to be a Valley Girl. She was a Valley Girl. Also, Miko Hughes, who creeped us all the fuck out with his portrayal of Gage in the original Pet Sematary.
And your favorite movie, New Nightmare.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Kindergarten Cop.
You know what's funny is this picture kind of makes him look like Zach Galligan.
Patty Mullen from Frank and Hooker, of course, Frank will be Hooker. Announcing. I can't tell you the number of people that when that announcement was made, they lost their shit. They're so excited about seeing Patty Mullen. Frank and Hooker is just a cult classic.
It's such a fun movie. If I wasn't going to be doing, you know, any volunteer work, I would have dressed up as a large bag of Super Crack. Just so I could walk around with a giant bag of Jumbos.
You've seen, like, back, I don't know if they still do it, but the Lebowski conventions.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
one dude,
I went to one.
And they had the costume contest, and one dude went as the Creedence.
Yes.
So you, like, had a big cassette tape, you know, that he'd made, and he's walking around.
One guy did a stranger in the Alps. That was a play on the TV edit of the dialogue, when you fuck a stranger in the ass, when you meet a stranger in the Alps. Like, it's so good.
So cool.
It's so good.
And finally, we're going to have Mr. Ari Lemon, the first Jason himself. He, awesome, awesome guest. Super nice guy. Recently was in Katy doing a concert. But yeah, he'll be coming down.
With that mustache. Cool. Watch out.
That's it.
He's coming for you, ladies. With that mustache.
So once again, January 16th, tickets on sale now, $5 a piece online, or $10 at the door.
Dude, you can't beat it.
You don't want to miss this event for sure. The Houston horror community is getting together and building itself up, and we're all helping each other out to achieve some really, really cool things.
Do we need it? We need it
so bad. We need it for a long time.
I mean, as many fans of horror and stuff we have in this city, being, what, the fourth largest city in the United States, we should not have had to wait so long.
We shouldn't have to go to Dallas to get...
And I'll go to Dallas as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I also want something like here. This is my home.
We've told Lloyd, and we've mentioned this, you know, we're not trying to take his place. We just want to enhance.
I want more.
We just want to enhance,
dude,
Texas.
Yeah, it's not me being greedy for profit. Dude, I'm just greedy because I want more of it. I'm like Oliver Twist with my little fucking wooden bowl out in front of the angry man. Please, sir, more.
But that's why we set up the Scary Dad convention in end of September, because, you know,
just at
halfway
point. Right.
Let
him
do his thing in spring, and we'll have something else to look forward to towards the fall. So.
Yeah, and we'll have more details on that. We're still looking for a home for that convention. Well, hopefully with this whole global vaccination, let's see how this works.
Mm.
Let's see how this plays out, because it's going to be interesting.
This will all start 28 days later.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, they already told the Russians they couldn't drink, and you know what happens when Russians get mad.
They eat each other.
Yeah. Really? Or they annex countries.
Because they want to eat them. One holds hands with the other here. Watch out, Kosovo. They're coming for you.
Back whenever there was trouble in, like, the Ukraine, and Georgia, you know, declared independence, and they rolled some tanks into Georgia, and then some people, like, outside of Atlanta were like, they say there's Russian tanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch out, guys. You'll be fine.
Oh, man. All right. So, once again, the Scary Dad Podcast, the Scary Dad Haunted Halloween Show. We are just forging full steam ahead, despite the pandemic. So, if you have a subject that you want to hear us talk about, if you have a subject you want to talk about and want to book yourself as a guest on the show, reach out to us at either on Facebook, at the Scary Dad Forum. Go to the website, scarydad.com, and click on any of the social media buttons. You can pretty much just find us anywhere. You type in the word Scary Dad as one word, and we're going to be the first.
We're going to pop up.
You're going to find us. Sometimes I will post something in the forum, and then Scott will reply to it as the forums.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're kind of I'm trying to fix that. But there are two of us. So if you don't get in touch with one of us, hit the other one. So we're going to take a break real quick, and we will be right back.
From the novel by Stephen King, creator of Carrie and The Shining, comes a chilling new tale. And it begins here.
Cujo? Cujo?
Cujo?
Thank you.
there's a new name for terror. Cujo. Directed by Lewis Teague. Rated R. Starts Friday, August 12th. Please check newspapers for a theater near you.
And here we are.
Take the lead.
So, have you ever, like, tried to kill a bug? Like a roach, for example. And you smack it, and its ass splats all over the wall, and yet it still crawls?
There was a wasp I had that incident with last night, as a matter of fact.
Sometimes you just, somebody will get shot in the thumb and die of shock. And then sometimes you shoot them 18 freaking thousand times and they just keep coming. 2020 has been that guy.
It's got the curse of Thorn.
It's just, yes, there's something about this year that's just, and, you know, obviously this year has been bad for a lot of people, worse for others. I fortunately, and, you know, we still got a few days, so I can't quite count myself safe from 2020. But you know, the beginning of the year, I had to have surgery. Had kind of a cancer scare. Couldn't talk for like close to 6 weeks.
And that initially disrupted the podcast.
That disrupted the podcast, everything. While I was out, you know, like right when I came back, well, while I was out, I saw this mystery virus waking up and taking over China and that part of the world, and I'm thinking, oh man, that ain't gonna be.
You remember back in those days, we'd watch the news and you'd see these cruise ships in China with people with masks on, and it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah,
that's because you were so used to seeing people in China wearing masks. Yeah. They've been doing it for 25 years, but that's probably because breathing there without a mask is like smoking 10 packs of cigarettes.
Yeah, well, they all smoke 10 packs, and they don't have good air quality.
Right.
You know, so.
There were all the jokes because the virus was called Corona, and everybody was just being silly about it.
And about the beer and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this can't be a good thing. And then, you know, right as soon as, this is me personally, this is my bad shit, right as soon as they're like, we're about to close down retail. You need to go buy all the stuff that you need to get to survive a 6 week long quarantine. Kids break the TV. We have to buy a new TV.
Mm.
Stove breaks. The glass across the stove breaks. Have to buy a new stove. Well, I am literally like they're on the morning news being like, any minute they're about to make an announcement. And I'm like driving down to Sugar Land to pick up the stove to lay in. And I buy it and it doesn't fit in the hole in the granite. So I have to return it and go buy another one. And I'm like, ah! Like I had a stove during a quarantine.
Right, right.
Get the stove in. 3 or 4 days after that, then my daughter gets pneumonia, then I get sick, then my wife gets sick, then my other kid gets sick. We all pretty much had the Rona. Then, like, right at as we're like, okay, that's enough. We've been punched. Our sewer collapsed. Oof. And we have to get foundation repair and our sewer fixed. $35,000. Oh, yeah, and I lost my job.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was about to bring that part up.
And I, for the last 16 years, I've had a company car that I could use for personal use, so I had to buy a car. We had that car for less than 2 days. We'd driven it 3 miles. My wife takes it to a dentist appointment. And on the way home from the dentist appointment, something falls off the back of a truck and tears off the bottom of a brand new car. So we've had a moment. Like, people would call me up, like, hey, when are we going to record? And I'm just like, I'm probably not in the best mood. I'm not finding funny in anything right now.
Give it a few months.
So, and then like our friend Kristen just kind of she's sick and tested positive. Like, luckily we haven't been around her in a few weeks.
A lot of people are testing positive, dude. All of a sudden, dude. It's spreading fast. Every day I get an email about students from my daughter's school. It's crazy now how people are just popping up everywhere.
So,
coming down with it.
We figured it might be fun because sometimes you just have those things that won't die.
Right.
So, we're going to talk about those guys.
Man.
So, I think probably, the queen mother of them all is going to be the Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
Just, he was already bad news to begin with. But you expect credits to roll when that truck blows up. And nope. Then
nope.
That then it just
don't.
Yeah,
and it just keeps on trucking. Just
keeps on coming, and he comes out with that little bit of a limp.
Yeah,
like you heard him.
Yeah,
but
I
not
love that.
But not enough to make him slow down even a little bit.
Right.
I love the limping robot.
It's so great.
So good.
It's just the sound because it was quiet, but you heard.
Now it's got that little drag to it. Yeah, dude.
And you know. Just all through the ironworks and all through, you know, he finally takes out Kyle and all of the things and she crushes him. And the hand's still just like,
yeah.
Like, it just, that's how I feel like 2020 has been to me, really. It's just like, I'm still here.
The truck's blown up, baby. Nope. Here it comes.
Oh, God.
But now yeah. We turn it up.
So, you know, in that vein, what have you got? There's just things that are just, they're not hard to kill. They're like damn near impossible.
Impossible to kill. Dude. You can go with so many slasher movies, but I definitely, how do you stop Jason? Especially once we received Zombie Jason. There is no stopping
him. You can stop him as human Jason, much less Zombie Jason.
Well, the fact of the matter was, if you think, like, if you want to run continuity, he says in the first few minutes of part 5, like, Voorhees is dead. We cremated him.
Right.
But then, like...
But they didn't.
In the beginning of part 6, they actually buried him, a foot in the ground. Like, that grave is not very deep.
Dude. That was the lowest bidder who took that job. You know what I mean? There were, 6 inches of dirt on top of this
guy.
That
was all Tommy, man. He would have been just fine sleeping in his grave.
Tommy had to go in. Yeah.
But once you got Zombie Jason, there's no putting him back in the box. No. You could have left, you know... Mortal Jason in the box.
But once you went Prometheus'd him, that was it.
Yeah.
Hit him with a little electricity and Frankenstein's monster.
Well, then, and then after that, it was even though you destroyed his body, some jackass is going to take a bite out of his heart and become the next Jason.
Right.
And now Jason is this body shifting bastard who just keeps
sort of
on going.
Demon saying, right. Yeah. But. Can you imagine, because a lot of survivors from the previous movies end up eating it in the next one, you know?
Right.
And can you imagine, you're like, we killed you. And he doesn't say stuff. He's not nice enough to, he's not like...
You don't get a dialogue out of this guy.
He's like, yeah. I'm back, bitch. Nothing fun. He's just like...
No. Right. Well, it just keeps going. It's like, oh, here I'm back again. It's back to the hacky.
Well, another one that would probably fall into the category even better for 2020, because... One minute he can convince you that he's your friend to the end, and then the next minute he loses his shit and calls you a bitch, which would be Chucky for Child's Play.
One of the best moments, I saw that in the theater, one of the best moments was whenever he finally turns it on and you get to hear
it. When she realizes there's
no batteries in the head. I'm going to throw you in the fire. Oh, you crazy bitch. I'll get you to fuck with me.
It's such an amazing scene, dude.
That's one of those, we talk about, you know, with horror and comedy and stuff. It's just the way that's filmed, it just lands so perfectly.
Right,
because it's
you.
So absurd, but when he turns his head just
all the
right,
way
and you're just what would you do?
Yeah, she drops the doll and it hits and then rolls and you're like, nope, thank you very much.
I'm leaving.
Sir, you own this apartment now.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm moving.
Yeah, Chucky, dude. I mean, whenever they melt off his face and you just see the animatronics behind, you know, inside of the doll, it's very much like the Terminator. Like, obviously, he's possessed by a spirit, but just I would not have imagined that they had built those dolls that tough. Like, my kids have got toys, they break all the time.
Right. And then they melt it down, and they put it on a new model for the doll, and he's back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all it took was for them to just remold the plastic and put it on, and boom, Chucky's back.
But he can't stop. It's called a Chucky. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's
he keeps the head in a safe, and he just spends his days torturing it, and it won't die. You know?
And then there's more of them. Yeah. They just keep it. Just keeps coming.
It's like the Energizer Bunny, dude.
Yeah, do it all day. The Thing.
Yeah,
we're talking about The Thing. You can kill the one thing, but you can't kill the thing because it's all independent They're it's like a hive being, but it operates independently of itself. Every little piece, every drop of blood is its own mechanism.
Right. And I was telling Scott, I was like, when we first did Fresh Eyes on the Thing, I never noticed it growing up, you know, watching it so many times, but I noticed it, that very long intro sequence where they're chasing the dog with them. I was like, I imagine that dude's probably hitting that dog with it, because he's got that sniper scope at low altitude.
But it won't stop.
That's right. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's connecting. He's not missing that many times. Right. That dog's running, and those bullets are just boop, and that dog just keeps on going, and how much scarier it is knowing, like, being in the helicopter and, like, being those guys and being like, dude, whatever this is bad news, and if it gets out, the world ends.
Right, like, right, right.
This is, I mean... And the right. poor dude's trying to tell him it, and they shoot him.
Right. And the first one, and here's something I never noticed until about a year ago, whenever I was watching a list and it showed it, and I never realized it, is the first one infected is Norris. But you think it's when the dog goes into the room, because you see Norris is what you think is a shadow, never shows a person, the dog right. goes in. You think that's Norris, but that's not when Norris got infected. Norris gets infected when the dog first comes into the yeah. camp and it licks his face.
Yeah, it jumps on him. It jumps up.
If Norris had been wearing a mask, Corona wouldn't have gotten him. It was Corona from space.
I read an interesting fan theory the other day on the thing that I forgot that I meant to talk to you about. End scene, Chiles, RJ, they're sitting there.
Right.
It's freezing cold.
Right.
Okay. RJ hands a bottle to Chiles. Chiles takes a drink. And all of a sudden, RJ just does this kind of sinister chuckle.
It's a Molotov cocktail thing?
Was Chiles actually still the thing? And he just gave him something that should have killed him or made him sick, and he just drank it like it was nothing?
You know, they answer that question in the video game for, I think it was PlayStation, it may have been PlayStation 2, but I think it might have been for PlayStation, but they did a Thing video game. Officially licensed, and the story was approved by Carpenter. In that, you find both of their skeletons. Neither okay. of them are the thing. But okay. no, I heard that theory. Like, he hands him a Molotov cocktail when he takes a drink. He's like, I know what you are now.
Yes,
yeah. It's like, kind of, I mean, what can you do about it? We're gonna freeze to death.
Right at that point, you know he's gonna die anyway. But you figured out that it's right. still around.
Right, it just won't stop.
Well, even then, it just goes dormant for the next
few months.
He says that. He says, it's just going to go to sleep. That's what it wants. It wants the cold. It wants to sleep until something else, someone else comes along to find it, and then it's going to latch onto them and keep on going. Mm.
Such a great movie.
It's such a great movie, but it's so terrifying, because the only thing that means the world exists now is that it crashed where it did.
Right.
Because if it crashed pretty much any further north...
Right,
it was all crashed in the ocean.
Right,
you know, it's like
that. It's gone.
Pretty much,
it has whatever it wants. But because it, yeah, it's all dumb luck and happenstance.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on the topic of films that just end badly with no happy ending, the zombies from Return of the Living Dead.
They won't stop.
You know, we've had an entire episode, I think, on that show.
Yeah, we did.
But that's such a great movie, and it's so fun. And right. silly.
And terrifying.
But then the ramifications of the fact that in this universe, Night of the Living Dead happened. Like, they reference
right.
it.
Like, right.
the zombies in the buckets are the ones from Night of the Living Dead.
In a more terrifying fashion.
Right. And yet, in Night of the Living Dead, because I think Night of the Living Dead was the movie about the event that they're talking about.
Right.
So, in the movie, you can kill them. In real life, you just have to put them in buckets.
Right.
Right.
And once they get out, there's no putting them back in.
Well, one thing me and Boom were talking about...
And they can't do anything because it spread too far before the military actually gets involved.
Well, it's in the rain.
Yeah.
It's in the rain. Now, once it hit the stratosphere, went up in the clouds and stuff, it became something that as soon as it rains anywhere... Now,
it's going to move on. Yeah, it's going to keep moving.
And it just keeps polluting the ground and everything.
Well, you know, one thing me and Boone talked about one day regarding this movie is, you know, Romero is the father of the modern zombie. Mm. But Return of the Living Dead gave us the visual of what zombies should be like, as far as brains go, as far as, you know, their movements being fast. It that one is really, in pop culture, that's where the modern zombie.
Yeah, Dan O'Bannon gets kind of passed over in that horror, in that zombie genre of just zombie folklore period. I mean, almost everything we know about them was written by Dan O'Bannon, who subsequently, the same guy wrote Alien. And yeah, it was going to be Tobe Hooper was going to direct it originally. Mm-hmm. He was going to do Return of the Living Dead and then backed out to do Life Force. So Dan decided to direct his own movie. And he creates this movie that has this massive cultural impact. But a lot of people don't know. They give it all off to Romero. Again, love Romero's work.
Yeah. Big fan. You got to give him props.
Of all of his zombies. I met him right before he passed. Great guy. People forget. You know, the whole brains thing, that was Dan. The way they move, these were, you know, you could cut pieces off and they would independently attack. They would not, you had to cremate them down to the smallest ash. And that was the only way to avoid them.
And even then, you know, they think they're in the clear. They've gotten past the bad things of 2020. So they cremated, but it just comes it right comes back. Down from the and rain. It comes back and worse than it was before. Again.
Well, when you have to nuke a town, like when you have to drop a nuke on a town. Like
goodbye,
you,
Kansas City.
And then,
or was it, no, Toledo.
And then,
Toledo, Ohio.
But then it just gets into the fallout.
Right, just blows it up into the sky even more. Soaking it into the water, into the groundwork. It just, it won't stop.
They're not going away.
Dude, Michael Myers. Mike kind of had that transformation. Kind of like Jason. You know, started off as just scary dude. Chopping people up. And then the Curse of Thorn comes along and they give it some kind of reason. Zombie Jason comes along and gives it some sort of reason. But before that, did he get shot? He gets stabbed. He gets thrown off the second floor, off the porch. He just doesn't stop.
His drive to kill is just more powerful than anything that can stop him.
But have you seen those, like, the memes where it's like trying to connect the continuities? Like, the movies don't make any sense.
You can't.
They make none at all. So you just have to go with it, but it's like
those series won't stop, dude. Yeah. They to this day, there's already been 3 Halloween number ones. 3 that it will not stop. There's always another one.
But the thing is, like, you know, when you say plot holes or continuity, it's like in part 2 where he's got both of his eyes stabbed out.
Yes,
and he's swinging the scalpel.
Yep,
like pretty much, you know, he's dangerous. He's a trapped animal. But you could
get away from him.
You could step away from him and trap him, put him in a box or whatever.
Could trip him.
But Loomis flips that switch on the lighter and they blow up, you know.
Right.
And they come back and Loomis has, like...
Yeah, Donald Pleasance has a couple beauty marks on
his
face.
He's got a couple little scars, so, you know, it's just like...
Is that it? That was that old fireball.
That was the
hospital. A little bit of chicken skin going over there, but that's about it, huh?
I like how visceral. I mean, it had to have been fun filming, especially Evil Dead 2, but with how slapstick and violent, like they beat, like Ash beats the hell out of some of those deadites, you know?
Do they beat him? Won't die.
He won't die, but man, like, so just some of the, like, like the sound effects and just kind of like, and just like, ha, 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 ha. You know, it's just like, and we've discussed it and I'm sure it's been all, but I'm pretty sure that Ash just lost it.
Like, oh yeah.
Somewhere kind of towards the end of Evil Dead 1 and the whole rest of it is just, it's happening, but it's happening like, the way an insane person would deal right. with that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because there's no way that you could go through any of that and not and come out in any way sane.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he just loses
his... Dude, his hand tried to kill him.
His own hand tried to kill him.
Fuck you up.
Right. That's why I don't know which one would be more appropriate. I mean, is it the deadites that won't die? Or is it that Ash won't die? I mean, they put that guy through the ringer. He gets beat, slapped, cuts his hand off, stabbed, all kinds of, and he just keeps trucking. Like
he beats himself. He splits himself in half and beats himself up.
Bruce Willis in the Die Hard movies, I mean, there's no way any human being could sustain that form of punishment over that period of time.
It continue going and hard, over. You know?
And just, he gets his feet all chopped up, he gets shot and burned, and that's just like one movie. He throws himself off a roof, almost gets pulled out a window. Now you go in the and second film.
You're watching a movie like Die Hard, and you go like this, and you know, Charlie goes in the next
room. I'm going to die. You got this, Bruce. Go ahead.
Well, even as he got older in the later movies, you know, you'd see he was older to where it would hurt a little bit more. But 10 minutes later, he's jogging. Yeah. You know, he's running.
He's got that angry old man jog to him, where it's more arm movement than legs, but he's still going.
Well, and then like in Army of Darkness, where the little ashes are, you know, attacking him and stuff. And he's like flipping over and it's all slapstick. And like, again, he's either really in hell, like, like the demons are just really, or his mind's just gone and he's sitting alone in that building. Just
he's accepted it. The moment everything started laughing with him in Evil Dead 2, the lamp and the deer head and everything, he was done. He's like, nope, we're just gonna live here now.
Because that's one of the things that just won't stop. It's like the end of Evil Dead, the first one, where it's just like, everybody's gone but him, and then, like, there's just stuff starts coming out of the electrical outlets, and it's just, like, goo, and, like, everything's just, like, and they, like, he's floating in the air and spinning around, and you're just like, I thought this movie ended, like, 10 minutes ago.
Right.
It got quiet, and then it, like, Jesus, it just won't stop.
Yeah.
Such a great film.
Another one for the category is another great film. I know you like it. But who's going to stop Sutter Kane? I just need to write another chapter. you going to leave the book over there? Let me write another paragraph here. You're on a bus and you got the book.
You know, it's funny because that was one of those movies, like when I was, you know, when you're a teenager and you start to think you're smart, you're hanging out with your friends, smoking cigarettes and drinking beer, you know, like, kind of philosophize, and you're talking about, like, life and religion and God and man and all that stuff. And, like, my whole thought process, you know, because the question will always come down to, if God knows your beginning and your end, so you've got a then what is free will? Like, you can't make your own decisions if he already knows what your end is. I'm like, no, dude, like, it's easy. It's a book. The characters in the book make their own decisions that get them to the end.
And now you're living the story.
But they're living in their universe and, you know, whatever. And so, like, and I'm talking, like, I'm not saying this is profound. This was just conversations. And then I saw In the Mouth of Madness, and I was like, see?
I told you. None of you guys believe me. Carpenter knew. There it is. Tell him, Sam Neill. You tell him. Fucking knew it.
That's so awesome. He's just like, I'm living in a book. Like, I'm a character in a novel.
I'm not in charge of my destiny.
Like, this at is all. Just, and that's when he draws all the crosses. He's just like,
he's like, I'm just going to accept this now. We're just going to live here. This is where I want to be. Don't let me out. Leave me here.
That's so awesome.
Nothing could be done to stop that one.
I think about that story, about that movie. Every time, like, you step outside and everything kind of has, like, some random yellow hue to it. Like, well, I must be thinking about yellow today. I would tell you my favorite color was blue. Just wakes up screaming at everything. Oh,
such a great movie, man. Oh,
so good.
And that Lovecraft stuff. Because that was around the same time as I started reading Lovecraft. So I'd already read some, but that's a very Lovecraftian.
Oh, yeah. You can see the Cthulhu design and all of the monsters.
It's very... If it's not drawn directly from a Lovecraft story, it's
a Lovecraft Stephen King meld.
Yeah,
like the fictional town in Maine that's all Stephen King. The name Sutter Kane is King. The monsters are very Cthulhu-esque, very Lovecraftian. And...
But you know, read Lovecraft, and a lot of times because the way that the elder gods, or not even the gods, because a lot of times the gods themselves are asleep. They're not paying attention.
Right,
but they're kind of influence on the world and reality. So, like, you get characters and they'll go to a place and they'll get to a place where the geometry is not right. Like, things don't, in a physical presence, don't make sense. Right. And it kind of messes with their reality, because these things have influence on reality. So in that movie, where things are just not right, like things just, something's just wrong, and it's just off-putting and weird, and I'm like, that's that, you know, you don't have to believe in something, like, to make it affect right. you. You don't have to believe in electricity. The lights are still on.
Right. It just is.
You know, and so...
Right. Right, it's that Freddy Krueger thing. Like, I don't believe in you. Well, I believe in you.
Yes.
It's like, oh, there you go. What do you do now?
No getting away. Just hope they write you a happy ending.
In anything involved in Lovecraft, it was impossible. Oh. There was no good guy winning. Either they died or they went insane. Mm-hmm. There was one or there was the other.
Right.
I mean, sometimes Stephen King, you get a small happy ending, and you're like, okay, I'm okay with this. This is fine. This is okay. Yeah, Lovecraft, it was, no, you're just going to be living at the bottom of a well, eating rats, rocking yourself to sleep.
Well, speaking of Stephen King, you know, got Cujo. My parents, I don't think I didn't see that till I was older, and I read the book before I saw the movie. But my parents had seen that movie, and it affected my mom. My dad used to joke. It's like he got bit by a bat, and beat by a bat, and finally stabbed by a bat. Like, Cujo's not having a good day with bats. And,
yeah.
my mom would, you know, like, oh, you know. But, dude, he's tough.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
That was a tough son of a bitch, man.
Dude, the way it hammerhead that door when the lady's trying to get out.
Yeah.
It's such a harrowing tale. She just wants to help her kid who's slowly dying in the back of this fucking gremlin or whatever.
That was the hardest part of that movie, was just seeing the little boy and his lips drying out. And you can see his lips cracking and everything. And... As a kid, that movie scared the shit out of me, dude.
And, well, in the book, he dies.
Yeah.
Right.
And they made a last-minute decision not to kill him, which didn't work in King's favor, because then they just said he was being cruel to the dog. But still, I mean, Cujo was tough. And it's funny, because he says he doesn't really remember writing Cujo, which is weird, because like there's so much in there that needs to be unpacked.
Right,
but,
right.
Like,
dude, at the time, he was putting out a monster novel a year.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy...
And he couldn't miss.
The guy, no, shit. He was just cranking them out.
But, yeah, dude, Cujo's one of those, it's like Jaws in a freaking parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, or in a driveway.
Right,
it's like you're being circled by this thing,
right.
And it, like, you're safe right here, right now, but... Not for very long.
Once it decides to make the jump.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's worse than Jaws. Because Jaws, you were trapped on the boat in the middle of an ocean, and you knew you were doomed. But with Cujo, freedom was within sight. There was land all around you. There was a home with doors and maybe a gun, and there was a barn, and down the street there was your neighborhood. Like you
could see freedom.
You could see it. You could crack your window, and you could smell it.
Yeah.
And it was just this thing, and it was off to the side, and it looked nice and quiet, and it was just going to lay there on the dirt, and it was going to wait for you to die. And the moment you tried to get brave, it was coming.
Yep. And it was betrayal, because that was the family dog.
Right.
His role was to protect you,
right.
Not the other way around.
Right.
So it's like...
Should have got a chihuahua.
No kidding.
Instead, it was a big-ass St. Bernard.
And it, oh, man...
Had like a V8 engine.
Well, and the thing is about St. Bernards too is they're big.
Yeah, at least I have one. Yeah.
They're not mean looking. Like they're
no,
they're generally well, like they're friendly. They're happy.
Well, they're lifesavers. They carry some bourbon
to
help
take
skiers,
that and convert it and turn it into man. And poor Cujo, man. When you see him, just the deterioration, both in the book and in the movie, you're just like, oh.
They did such a great job.
Yeah.
It is weird the first time you saw the picture of the guy in the St. Bernard suit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think it's weird when you see monsters like the Predator with Jean-Claude Van Damme in that original Predator
that
outfit.
That weird
that
lobster-esque
right.
thing.
But then the guy
that
in the alien costume, like the big Nigerian guy without the helmet on, and he's just like...
Right.
Like, that looks creepy with a small head.
Right. Dude, aliens. Aliens, this wouldn't stop. You could lock yourself in a building, weld the doors shut, shields over the windows. They're coming.
Yeah, that's just it. You kill one, there's another one waiting for you.
Well, and that was the thing. It's like in the movies, they don't really go deep into it, but there was the Aliens, was it Aliens Earth War? Was one of the comics, one of the first comics that came out. There was Aliens versus Predator, and then Aliens Earth War. where they got a specimen finally back to Earth after all of their failed attempts through, and they finally get it there, and it does a salamander, a frog, where it was a male.
And it shifted into the queen.
And it shifted and started dropping eggs. And they describe it and as basically an infestation of ants. Like, death right. means nothing. They're a hive mind. And it shows them, like, building structure with body parts of fallen...
Xenomorphs.
Yeah. So they're like the aliens themselves, kind of like a bee setting up a hive. They're like ripping off arms and weaving them together and stuff from like living xenomorphs. They're just like, oh, I need a piece to build with, and like
right.
And so like it's like you just need a spray of Raid. Like it's just like if you could find an intergalactic insecticide, but whatever got them off their home planet where they would have been in some sort of homeostasis, once they got off of there, it's just
it starts again
over with.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, reading a comic book, which I'm not saying like it was a comic book, it was just like the movies touch on it, but when you get to that comic,
it goes into
so much worse,
right?
Because they are just adaptable to the nth degree
and single-minded,
and at some point, well, just like ants,
right?
Just imagine if ants were, you know, 1,000 times bigger, and, you know, like, but what if you take, like, what if you take an ant, queen ant, and you drop it onto a planet where everybody's this big?
That's right.
You know, and like a fire ant. Fire ants are...
They're programmed to do, yeah. Regardless of
and
what's around
and we can control them here. They're not going to take over our world and kill us, but they're certainly tearing up habitat by getting out where they're not supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But man, yeah, you talk about the aliens and how hard they are to kill to begin with.
Right. Because,
you know, even if you blast them, then they're going to squirt acid back.
It's going to kill you, yeah.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah, and they find any little way in. And they don't talk on it in part two. And I wasn't a big fan of the later Alien movies, but I forget which one it was. But it was in a book I had read on aliens. And they have like two or three of them in a cell, like in a kind of an enclosed metal cage. And they're studying them. I think Brad Dourif is in it. And they can't get out. And they're kind of being conditioned with like a blast of hot steam to obey the rules. And then one alien starts tearing apart another xenomorph. And then the other xenomorph starts tearing them apart. And the guy's just kind of watching like, oh, this is very interesting. But they realize that he realizes the acidic blood is eating up the cage they're in. And they use that to get out. It's like it's a perfect example. They are going to do what they're going to do. Regardless of what they have to do to get it done, you know, those are going to hunt, those are going to lay eggs, that one's going to collect.
They all have a job.
That's all they're going to do, and they're going to do it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't die.
Yeah. That was a good thing about, you know, comparing it to 2020. If you're right. It's like, this pandemic's going to pandemic. It's going to do what it's going to do. You know, and again, don't want to wax political, but... You have the people that are like, it's going to do this, it's going to do that, it's going to do this, the lines are this. Saw a meme the other day. It's like, the virus is way down. Why is the flu is way down? Why is the flu way down? Well, because people are masking
up. Wearing masks, washing their hands.
Social distancing. They're like, oh, well, if that's the case, then why is COVID so bad? They're like, because nobody's wearing masks or social distancing. Like, there's something else here.
Right.
Like, there's something else afoot. You know, it's not just, when it's... virus, there's nothing.
Right.
It's going to do what it's going to do.
Right.
And, you know, virus, you know, we talk about things like The Walking Dead, you know. At least, like, we talk in Return of the Living Dead, there's the nuclear option. It's not until after the credits are rolling that you realize, oh, crap.
Right.
You know
so
what
you
I mean?
Hear like, the rain.
Like,
and then,
but you think, yeah. Okay, boom, boom. Done. Got it. Then you think, oh, crap. Well, like Walking Dead, man, they're like 8 years in and shit ain't getting no better.
No. Right. And that was, I remember reading the graphic novels for The Walking Dead when they came out. I was a big fan of the stories. And the two things I loved the most was that nobody was safe. Anybody could die at any given point, the drop of that. You thought you liked this character. 3 pages later, they were being torn apart. You didn't know who was going to be there for any period of time. And the other one was when they introduced the virus that everyone carries. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be bit. You don't have to get sick. once you die, you're a zombie.
Yeah.
It comes back. No matter what, there's no way around it. And I was like, that's... I mean, in a way, it's kind of an easy way out to say that now the zombie apocalypse can never end and we can write this story ad infinitum. It goes forever. We can just, as long as we can write stories for it, we never have to rationalize, why didn't all the zombies die off? Why didn't they all disintegrate from decomposition? It didn't matter, because now we've got that thing that allows it to continue regardless. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty great.
Well, too, and it's funny because, and it's a complete shift, but it goes to the Suicide Squad, right?
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the Suicide Squad. A lot of people didn't. It got a lot of crap from critics. It got a lot of crap from comic book people. And whatever. One of the things that I kept reading that pissed me off was that Enchantress was too powerful for the Suicide Squad, that they should have toned down their villain, right? It's like they're not strong enough to go up against it. I'm like, dude, you can't choose your disaster. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like these people, they weren't prepared for the hurricane, so they shouldn't have gotten flooded. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, the hurricane comes and it hits everybody and you just deal with it.
You deal with it the best you can.
Right.
And so, like, with Walking Dead, it's like you've got rules, like with the zombies. Like, they run or they don't, or they, you know, they vampires, they disappear in the sun or whatever like that. It's like, no, this is fiction.
It goes where it goes.
But, man, like, with the virus in 2020, like with the pandemic or whatever, it's like, oh, it does this, it does that. Like, they don't know day to day. That's what makes it all the more frightening, is because they're like, oh, well, it does this. Well, now it also does this. And this. Like, oh, man.
Right. Yeah, and there's no real rhyme or reason with it. And anybody who tries to put rhyme or reason to it is just a full of shit.
And I think,
like, my wife tested positive months back, like right when it first started, which was scary. She has lupus. So we're all, like, super paranoid now. She's got this. She already has an autoimmune disease. Fuck, we need to make sure this is good. I get quarantined from my work because I notify them right away. And they're like, oh, 2 weeks, go home.
Yep.
Until you come back with, you know, multiple tests saying you're negative. We slept in the same bed. I held her hand every day. We watched TV. We ate together from whatever. We shared glasses. I've tested negative 30 times since like March or April, because where I work at Amazon, they test in-house. Mm-hmm. And it's every 2 weeks, like, hey, you should go get tested. I never got anything. She got COVID. I was around her every day. We slept next to each other. If anybody should have got COVID,
I think too, because again, same thing with the flu. It's like getting sick from other things. It's like back pre-COVID, it's like, how you feeling? It's like, oh man, I got a cold. You're like, I don't know, can you record? Like, oh, I got the flu. It's like, ah, you should probably stay home.
Right.
Like, I got the stomach flu. You should probably stay home for weeks. Like, you stay the hell away from me, because there's gradients of bad to worse. You know, I had a really, really bad case of the flu, like the day after, like right before Halloween, like 10 years ago. I remember every second of it. And it was so bad that I could not remember having ever felt well, and I was praying to God to kill me. Like, it was bad, you know. That was flu, like, you know, like now. So, my wife got COVID. I mean, we didn't get tested, because the doctor was like, yeah, it was back when you had to, like, wait for 4 hours in a caravan.
Right.
And they're only allowing certain people to test.
Yeah. So I got sick, and I called the doctor. They're like, yeah, I can tell by the way you're coughing. That's what you got. So drink lots of fluids and stay away from folks. Then she got it, and they said the same thing. And I was sick for, like, 4 days. She was sick for 2 weeks. You know?
Yeah.
And so you just never can tell. And she stayed in the bedroom. I slept out here, and we Lysoled everything, like, every 10 minutes. But you're sitting there being like, dude, does this even work?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like dealing with any of these maniacs. You know, there's lots of people that are going to come up with these really simple solutions. Oh, you should have just walked out onto the highway and just kept walking east, and you would have survived this thing just fine. And then other schools of thought, you know, go upstairs, hide in the attic. Everybody's going to have lots of little bits and pieces of information, but it's all in hindsight.
Yeah.
You know, it's all outside. It's all exterior. Nobody in that moment, you know. And it's just blind luck. Either you're the jock who walks 85 miles in to take a piss and gets hacked up, or you're the virgin that skates through by the skin of their teeth and nobody knows who it's going to be.
Of course. And that's what, I like those things that break the rules, where it's just like, you know, I'm the final girl.
Everybody dies.
Right. Well, like you were talking, well, was it Jason versus Freddy, where she's like, you know, like, I figured it out.
Yeah, or Feast. Feast, like the hero shows up, like, this is the hero. The hero never died. Boom, hero's dead.
Yeah.
Hero number two.
All right, let's see what else we got. The Graboids. Those tremors won't die.
Yeah, speaking of waiting you out till you die like in Cujo, one of the craziest scenes, one of the most vivid scenes from that movie is the old guy that climbed up the antenna tower.
Yeah.
He dies up there.
Yeah, you know? He just ends up dying up there because the Graboid was going to wait him out. He wasn't going anywhere. And the ability of the Graboid to evolve into, you're not going to make noise anymore? Okay, we'll have heat sensors to where we can see you even if you're standing still. You know we're on the ground, that's cool. We're going to evolve to where we can walk around and chase you down.
Well, and you know you're in a weird sort of instant gratification sort of culture when you first learn about evolution, right? And they show you, I don't know, a fish and then like a dinosaur and then a human, and they're like, millions of years. You can't even contemplate the length of time between
this stage to this
and all the way up and back down and whatever. And then, like, in my lifetime, it's like, oh, we're seeing evolution in action because a bird grew a blue wing. And you're like, no, evolution happens over tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years.
Right.
Not in 10.
Happened yesterday.
It was like in the movie Evolution, you know, they're looking in the microscope and they see one-celled organisms off this meteorite. And then a few hours later, he looks and there's a multi-celled organism. And he's like, you don't understand. This is millions of years. You're just going from a single cell to multiple cells. You know, you still got to look, use a microscope to see it. That's millions of years of evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
So we're going to see with this... like I said, everybody's always bitching about, like, oh, the government and the governor and the president and the blah, 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 and the research and the vaccine. And, like, dude, can you just imagine how lucky you are that you live in a world where we know what a virus is?
Yeah.
And we understand how vaccines work.
Dude.
Because even if it doesn't, it kind of still does a little bit. Like, flu vaccine mostly doesn't work, but it still saves millions and millions of lives.
Dude, there was a time where someone would see you sneeze, like, well, I'll say goodbye to Greg. He's not going to be around anymore.
Or even further back than that, somebody would have a bad cough and start getting a fever. They say, oh, he's possessed by somebody. Let's get the exorcist.
There was a time where, like, now you can go to a fucking Walgreens and get some Pepto. There was a time diarrhea was... There's a chance you were going to die from it. It was going to kill you.
Probably, yeah. It still does in places all over the world.
Yeah.
Like, my poor daughter, she's like, Dad, you know, it's like, we were like, what's malaria? And I was like, it's a disease that's carried by mosquitoes. She's like, it killed a lot of people? I was like, it probably has killed more people than just about anything else at all. She's like, well, now I don't want to go outside. I'm like, why? She's like, I'm scared of malaria. I was like, chances of you getting it because of medicine and hygiene
and where we live.
Where we live? Or,
yeah, not a lot of malaria.
No, you can get West Nile. I mean, mosquitoes can be scary, right?
Right.
But I'm like, but imagine, like, what I just said, hundreds and hundreds of years of epidemiology trying to figure out why people are getting sick. Is it the water? Is it the bugs? Is it a demon? You know, what is going on, and then to be able to look at it in a microscope and then poke at it and be like, this has an effect, this does not have an effect, let's work more on this. And then just over and over and over and over and over again to be able to be like, it's a thing, you're safe, more or less, you're probably okay.
So we definitely made strides. I mean, think about the logic behind the plague doctor's mask. The birds aren't getting sick. It must be their long beaks. Let's design a mask so we breathe like them and the plague will just drop off before it reaches our nostrils. You know, that's where we were.
Technically it worked, but I thought it was so that they could stuff it full of the stuff so they didn't have to smell the rotting flesh.
No, I thought, I may be wrong, you never know, but I remember reading that what it is, they assume that because of the distance of their beak where the air was coming in, it was allowing the...
Like a filter.
Yeah, it was like a filter.
Well, technically, because that was... Because if you read about the Plague Doctor masks, they filled it full of herbs. And, like, they'd stuff... they'd soak cloths in spirits and herbs and stuff. So they like, lavender tinctures and stuff like that. And then shove those cloths and the flowers and stuff into the beak so that they could go into these sick houses and not be overcome by the smell of death and decay.
And if they close their eyes, they think they were at like a Bed Bath & Beyond. Yeah.
It was like an air filter. It was an air filter. But it worked because then they had this stuff on their face and so stuff didn't get like in.
They made the N95 mask, basically. Very early prototype of the N95.
God, you know how scary, man, watching those guys come in with their long coats and their big ass bird masks.
You'd be done. Like, we thought we were just, oh, fuck. Oh, they're here. Say bye to the kids.
Well, that about puts us, hopefully, at the end of our 2020 episode. Let's hope that everybody has a good new year. As a public service, don't put one of those stupid ass, mortars on your head whenever you're popping fireworks on New Year's. That is not a good idea. That will kill you.
That's Darwin. Thanks, Darwin.
Every year somebody does that. So like, hey, let's launch the mortar off the top of my head.
See, this is
crushing their skull. And
this is why. It's because of stuff like that, man. That there's reason to be afraid of things. You know, reasonably afraid of things like viruses and stuff. But it's stupidity is wiping people out. It's such beautifully exorbitant numbers. I mean, how many people are going to die from drunk driving within the next 48 hours?
Right. Or drunk vaccine.
Or just driving. Jesus, you've been on the freeways. So many people die every year just in Texas. Just thousands of people. Like, this is Texas only. Just so many people are dying. Yep. Not wearing a seatbelt.
The simple things that just make a difference. You know, just common sense. You know, too many people, they think of something to do, but then they don't sit. And I guess, you know, just the old engineer in me. Before you do something, think forward. You know, do a quick JSA. Do a job safety analysis. See, you know, what kind of bad things can happen. You know, what can go wrong. People don't do that enough.
They just come up with an idea and just run with it. Dude. Nobody likes it. Nobody's trying to think in advance.
It's like in Christmas Story where he plugs in the lamp and it's like all the stuff's popping. Like,
yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Those, the old cloth cords, like the cloth covered.
Yeah, dude, you look at the stuff and you think, man, there's no way somebody thought this was good. Oh, you mean a lot of people did this?
Like, this code. Oh, dude, when I used to do repair vintage electronics, they had those cloth cords, and you wouldn't. Those things deteriorate bad, and everything is exposed.
Yeah.
I would open up so many electronics where you can see an arc. And hit the inside workings and possibly, you know,
that's what made it killed so
a shitload of people.
People using lead and paint, asbestos. I mean, because nobody stopped and thought, man, you think we should? No, it's fine. This is fine.
Actually, I read about asbestos, and asbestos is a strange situation because it occurs naturally.
Right.
Asbestos is not something that is created. It's in talc. It's the same thing. It's like those little silicone fibers that are inside of like baby powder. That's why Johnson & Johnson's in so much trouble. It worked precisely as it should. Most people did not get mesothelioma, right? Like whenever they put it and they coated it properly and they put it, it was like a miracle.
Right.
Because it would stop buildings from burning down. And that was important because we've done horror shows on how many people died in stupid fires and like, you know, something catches on fire and it just would woof up so fast that everybody would die before they even knew. They would die of, like, the fire would suck the air out and they'd scorch their lungs before they even knew that there was fire. Asbestos was a miracle of engineering to be able to line stuff with asbestos. But it wasn't until, like, they started doing remodeling and scraping into it. So if they could have found a way to, like, harden it, like, to case harden it to where it wouldn't flake.
Right.
It could have been, like, a lot of the problems could have been mitigated. Then, instead of going in and figuring out a way to coat this already existed. Then they just scraped it off and like put it all into the air.
Fines everywhere.
Like, Jesus. Like it'll never go away.
No.
Like
it doesn't die.
It never dies. It just goes back into the dirt. So, well, I hope everybody has a good Happy New Year. Hope
Happy
you got
New
what
Year.
You wanted for Christmas.
Eat plenty of cabbage and black eyed peas, please. Let's
Why?
Try to start off right.
Yeah, don't stay away from the black eyed peas.
Stay away from the cabbage. Unless your family's Irish, and then you gotta. But there was a time that's all they had, people, so don't hate on them too much for it.
But it's Thursday, and Thursday is pick up the kids and then go to the liquor store day. So,
yeah, don't wait till Friday.
I've got to add. No, dude, it's Thursday. I've been not drinking since 2 days ago. But Happy New Year from the Scared Dad Podcast. Hit us up on Facebook. Keep the conversation going. And we'll see you after the first. We'll have some great new guests. And, yeah, until then, keep it scary.
Later.
Have fun.